Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Ask the experts about free fitting on all our kitchens. cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The US President Donald Trump has urged pregnant women not to take the pain reliever Tylenol, citing a disputed link between the drug and autism. He made the announcement yesterday in the Oval Office alongside the Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. The US President claimed that taking paracetamol, which is the main ingredient in Tylenol, is not good and that pregnant women should only take it in cases of extreme fever. Let's have a listen.
Effective immediately, the FDA will be notifying physicians that the use of acetaminophen, is that okay? Yeah. Which is basically commonly known as Tylenol during pregnancy, can be associated with a very increased risk of autism. So taking Tylenol is not good. All right, I'll say it. It's not good.
Well, that's Donald Trump. Well, in the last couple of minutes, the European Medicines Agency has said paracetamol can be used during pregnancy. The advice is to use it at its lowest effective dose for the shortest possible time and as infrequently as possible. Let's get the expert view on all of this. I'm joined by Monique Botha, who's a professor in social and developmental psychology at Durham University, and Kingston Mills, professor of experimental immunology at Trinity College. And we'll also hear from GP Dr. Maura Finn. But Monique, I'll come to you first, and you're welcome to the programme. I would imagine that lots of pregnant women will be very anxious hearing about this morning. What's your advice on paracetamol during pregnancy?
So really importantly, there isn't robust data showing that taking paracetamol during pregnancy increases the likelihood of a child going on to being diagnosed with autism, ADHD, or learning disabilities in any sibling cohort controlled studies. And this is really important because any earlier studies that had been done on this, compared to the massive 2.4 million cohort study that was released last year, any effects that were seen there, which they themselves were still small, were all correlational and didn't fully control for essentially family background and genetics. And we know that autism, ADHD, and learning disabilities are primarily genetic.
So can you explain to me, though, why the European Medicines Agency says that while it is safe to be used during pregnancy, the advice is to use it at its lowest effective dose for the shortest possible time?
Well, because basically it's the safest option out there. Right. Taking any medication may have a small likelihood, or some have larger likelihoods, of affecting fetal development, but the other things that can happen are worse. So, for example, having an uncontrolled fever can lead to birth defects that are, in my view, probably a lot more alarming than a child going on to receive an autism diagnosis. So it's one of those things where you've got to weigh up the risk of taking that action or taking a different action. And in this case, they're still saying taking paracetamol when it is called for during pregnancy is one of the safest things that you can do compared to not.
Having listened to Donald Trump and Robert F. Kennedy Jr., do you understand what studies they're basing these claims on?
No, and they're also not releasing any of the data. And that's really important because one of the most important things we can do as scientists is be transparent about where our data is coming from and where we are drawing conclusions from. There were a lot of statements that were made yesterday that have no evidence base, including, for example, the ludicrous claim that the Amish community doesn't particularly experience autism. It's not true. The claim that the MMR vaccine is better taken spread out instead of as a combi vaccine. Again, there's no evidence for this. So, I mean, it's one of those things where I was incredulous listening because the evidence base isn't there. So if people, especially people in power, aren't going to be upfront about why they're drawing the conclusions they are, then that's deeply problematic.
Mm-hmm. What are your fears around pregnant women hearing this advice today? Because as much as you might tell yourself that it's unfounded, you know, if you're in that fairly vulnerable situation, the message goes in some way, doesn't it? That must be a concern that you will have.
Exactly. And I actually think that it is an abuse of power to muddy those waters, especially when all of the guidance that are being produced by people who are experts in the field is a strong counter narrative to what the Trump administration is saying. But I think that they are muddying the waters on an emotive topic. At the end of the day, this has become a bigger and bigger thing in the public imagination as to that perceived increase in the rate of autism. And this is capitalizing on that. And I think it puts pregnant women into an unnecessary space of fear.
Mm-hmm. Well, President Trump does believe, doesn't he, that the United States is seeing an epidemic of autism cases. There are claims in this part of the world, too, that we have an explosion of autism cases. Is there any basis to those claims?
So I want to be really, really, really clear that autism is not an epidemic. So I just really clear on that. At the end of the day, autism is not a tragedy. It's not this thing that people make it out to be. It's not a, you know, I've seen people describe it as like a boogeyman that hides under the bed, and that's not the case. Autistic people and their families are deserving of support, respect, and acceptance. And really importantly, the idea that we had of autism in the 1980s was very stereotypical. It was that idea of a little boy who might be non-speaking and have an intellectual disability. And we rewrote that. For the DSM-4, we rewrote our idea of autism because it had evolved after decades of autism research. We evolved it to include autistic people who look different to that stereotype. Mm-hmm. And it's really important that we did, because it's a cohort of people who have really quite astoundingly negative life outcomes and who are deserving of support and the lives that they want, self-determined lives.
So because the definition has changed, that's why we are seeing more people who are covered now by the diagnosis. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. And that accounts for the vast majority of the increase that we have seen in autism, right? That stereotypical idea, that 1980s idea of autism, hasn't particularly seen that same growth that we've seen in essentially other like autistic presentations. And it's really important to say this, because the growth is just the shifting definitions based on evolving science.
Okay. Well, Professor Monique Botha, thank you for joining us. Kingston Mills, as I said, is with us as well, Professor of Experimental Immunology at Trinity College. And Kingston, we touched there on the fact that Donald Trump cast doubt on the medical consensus around childhood vaccines, in particular the combined MMR. He believes that there are issues around taking those vaccines together. What did you make, first of all, of what he said?
Good morning, Claire. Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing to say about MMR vaccine is that it is incredibly effective, between 95 and 97% effective against measles and slightly less against the other two diseases. So measles is a really serious disease and highly transmissible. So this vaccine really does work in protecting against disease that can potentially kill young children. So it's important that you know, the reaction is not one of a sort of a stopping vaccinating, but encouraging it. The three-in-one is given, the three vaccines are given together for convenience, because it makes sure that the uptake of the vaccine is going to be higher when you cover all three in one. So the children at 12 months of age and again at 5 and 6 years of age get a primary dose and a booster when they go to school. And those two doses are necessary to give complete protection. The reason they're given together is as I said, for convenience, because it's first of all, one injection for the child rather than three. And secondly, it ensures that the parent will bring the child once only to the clinic to get a vaccine vaccine rather than having to bring them back on several occasions, in which case the uptake would likely drop if it was three separate doses. And there's no reason not to get them together. There's no interference. The immune system can respond just as effectively to each of the components when they're given together as when they're given individually. So there's no scientific reasoning behind it.
But he says there is. He says there could be an interaction between the three. Is there any evidence for that?
No, I mean, the evidence against that is that we get infected with multiple pathogens all the time. In our nose, we have, you know, could have two or three different viruses at the same time that cause the common cold. And we respond to them and we recover from colds. So we have the ability to respond to multiple pathogens. These are bacteria and viruses all the time. It's the same with a vaccine. We have the ability, our immune system has the ability to respond to multiple vaccines at the same time. Children at 2, 4, and 6 months of age are given 6-in-1 or 7-in-1 vaccines. So there's 6 or 7 vaccines at the same time. And there's no indication that giving those together has any detrimental effect on the response to any individual component of that combination vaccine. So there's no precedent, but there's no scientific evidence to back up
but
this.
Are you concerned now that this might impact vaccine rates and that in turn then would have an impact on public health?
I certainly hope it won't do so in Ireland. It may do so in the States. I think, you know, Irish people are informed and pretty sensible, and they're going to listen to the science, hopefully. And the science very much says that vaccines, especially the MMR, it's an example of one of the most effective and safe vaccines out there. And it's against diseases, as I said earlier, that can kill children.
Okay.
So the rationale for doing it is very strong.
Kingston, thank you. Kingston Mills there, Professor of Experimental Immunology. GP Dr. Maura Finn is with us on the line. Maura, listening to all of that, having heard Donald Trump's comments, you can understand that a lot of expectant women will be understandably worried about taking paracetamol-based medications first. What do you say to them this morning?
Oh, first of all, I think it's awful. I think it's so upsetting that this is being kind of all over the media, and of course it has to be. But pregnancy is a very difficult time. You're vulnerable in so many ways because you're bombarded with advice and instruction on social media and by your friends and everything else. And there's a fear of doing the wrong thing. It's disinformation and misinformation is very dangerous. It's misleading and it causes confusion. We know that paracetamol is safe. What, you know, when we talked about, when you were talking to the first speaker about why is it said that we give it in smallest amounts for a shortest amount of time, that's what we say about all medication in all aspects of life, but particularly in pregnancy, because what you're trying to do is balance treating a maternal condition with protecting an unborn. But we don't know that there seems to be no evidence that there's a link between paracetamol and any other neurological condition. So it's really unfair that pregnant women are being kind of exposed to this horrible misinformation when we can say if you are unwell, it's really important that you are treated appropriately. And as always, get proper advice and get it from your pharmacist, your GP or your obstetrician. But we do always say take the smallest amount of medication for the shortest amount of time, because that's what we say in all circumstances when it comes to healthcare.
Yes. It's also unfair, isn't it, on parents of children who have autism? You know, we have them getting in touch with us this morning, Emma saying that it just doesn't help at all. My son is autistic and comments like this really hurt.
Oh, it's so bad because obviously, you know, first of all, autism is a multifactorial issue. It's genetic and many, many other factors that we don't fully understand. But, you know, the last thing a parent who is struggling with a challenge of an autism diagnosis needs is the idea that in some way they were directly responsible for this. I mean, I think that's just so... It's so hard for the parents involved, and it also does imply that, you know, there's an almost misogynist kind of streak to this kind of information coming from the White House that, you know, women again are to be blamed for the effects of their behaviour during pregnancy and how it affects the child. Maternal care is just as important as the care for the fetus, and that has to be All this stuff has to be challenged. Now, Trump is notorious for his baseless information anyway. He's the same man who advised bleach for COVID. So I would hope people would put this in the same sort of bracket as that and realise that what's been kind of said in the White House should not be seen as an international science-based information in any way.
All right. Well, if anyone would like to get in touch with us this morning on this, the WhatsApp number 0870 32 32 32. Dr. Maura Finn there. Thank you so much for being with us. Plenty more still to come on the programme, including preserving the flavours of summer. We're going to try our hand at pickling a little later on. But next, we're going to hear about plans to begin charging those who live in asylum accommodation.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.